Blog Talk Radio.
So one of these nights, and about 12 o'clock, this old world's gonna demand rock. Saints, they all tremble and cry for pain, for the Lord's gonna come in his heaven airplane.
Hello,
I'm Ken Swenson, and you're listening to the Table of Body and Blood on Blog Talk Radio. A few of the legal things before we get started. Once again, I'd like to thank Jim Yeager for the airtime and track talking. And also would like to say that any of the things said on this particular program do not reflect the opinions of Trek Talking, nor any of his on-air talent. Okay, now that we've gotten that over with, we can progress to tonight's message. Again, we're always from the Sunday before the Friday, so we're just starting in Advent. Tonight's message is called Anticipation, or subtitled, somewhat cheekily, Boy, I Didn't See That Coming. Based on the verses Matthew 24, 36 through 44, and Romans 13, 11 through 14, which are as follows. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Grace and peace to you from God our Savior, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Anticipation. We are now entering the season of Advent, a season of anticipation. The once again telling of the story of the Christ child who was a lowly baby wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger, surrounded by the creatures and by the very universe which the child had a hand in creating through the Father. A child in a manger, infant lowly, infant holy. And try as they might, Madison Avenue can't change this simple and truly indescribably glorious fact. A king, yes. But with a crown and a mighty army, no. A tiny infant, seemingly powerless by appearance, who started a movement, a revival, that has lasted over 2,000 years. Think of that the next time you have problems. But also think, I have the power too. For I believe the child. Small baby, but never small God. Anticipation. The Jews can be somewhat forgiven because of their heritage in shooting over the mark a bit of not recognizing their Savior, their Messiah, for they were looking for a king to lead them, not a baby. They forgot about beginnings, about new things, about anticipation, anticipating the reality first and appreciating the reality second. And it has taken us 2,000 years to even such as we are able to appreciate the reality which we once anticipated, which we still, every year, anticipate as the soft yellow glow of the Advent wreath and the Gaudete candle and wrap it in twine both the light of a new day and the sometimes coldness of our forgotten hearts. Babies know nothing, and that is to a certain advantage, for they also assume nothing and rely upon others for their care. The baby Jesus, as powerful as he is, relies upon us to care, to listen, to look in the night sky for the heralding star, to watch, to love, and to do. For anticipation means we are looking forward, not backward, for something truly wondrous. My sister Karen used to, maybe she still does, it's been a while since the family did Christmas together, anticipate Christmas with the fervor and enthusiasm of a 12-year-old child. She would bug Mom and Dad even when we were home and not doing Christmas dinner and the dessert crawl in Brooklyn. Couldn't we please open up something on Christmas Eve? Couldn't we please open up something? Now, that's not to say she was childish. It's just even in her premature aging, when she hit her 30s and her seeming denial of her faith that she professed in the white dress of confirmation, there hopefully was that little spark of excitement for the Christ child. Anticipation. Of course, anticipation only truly works when you anticipate the right things, after all. Anticipating the Christ child, good job. Anticipating a brand new BMW in the driveway with a bow on top or a 23-course Thanksgiving dinner, not such a good thing. Well, unless, and perhaps, you remember who gave you the ability and provision to have it in the first place. All things come from God. Remember that. And that, I suppose, is the other reason for the season. Remember. We are told the story of the Christ child every year, even though most of us have heard it all before, and not like it's going to turn out any different. The innkeeper isn't going to turn around and say, sure, we got room. Remember because our beliefs depend on us remembering our beginnings. For it is our memory and appreciation of that which pushes us ever so forward. It is our history, the stories that save us, truly save us. But it is our reliance on our New Testaments, on our future that defines us. We are told the story because you have to believe in a small, tiny baby, believe in a big God. The trick is to anticipate in the right thing. Maybe Jesus cool. Anything else, maybe not so cool. And back to Madison Avenue for a second. Remember who the angels came to visit first. Did they come to visit corporate America? Or corporate Palestine, for that matter? Do they venture forth into the land of gold-plated faucets and 23-course meals? No. They visited some dirty, sweaty, unkempt shepherds out in the fields tending their flock first. Well, they got to the Magi later on, actually next. Next time you worship God, check to see if you are, in fact, worshiping the one with the tiny baby or the one with the fat wallet. Anticipate the right thing. I personally know quite a few people who are going to be disappointed in the second coming. Oh, not because of where they will end up. That's pretty well set up, well, sort of. But of how it will end and how they prepared for the end. I actually wrote the end for a story I was working on as the capper to my almost 10-year three-arc writing adventure. And I guarantee that virtually everybody will be disappointed with my version. It just simply ended. In a snap of fingers by God. To tell you the truth, I'm even disappointed by how I ended it, but it served a point of the story. I digress. A lot of us seem to be obsessed with the how the world will end. We've planned it out with charts and graphs and PowerPoint presentations and littered copy after copy of the Bible with black and blue squiggles. Pre-trib, post-trib. Ended by having a house fall on you and having stocking feet sticking out from underneath. Ah, now, the Wizard of Oz is a second coming metaphor. Now, that would be an interesting way to fill an hour. We're almost equally obsessed by what heaven will be like when we get there. Maybe like the thruway, where there's no traffic and always an open toll booth. Or we'll see Aunt Martha or our precious animals. When contemplating this sort of thing, I'm reminded of a remark made by Father Gerzion back in the 80s. Sort of paraphrase. Heaven is far more wondrous than we could ever imagine, so we simply should stop trying to imagine it. I mean, are we in that much of a rush to get there? Or what will we do at the gate with St. Peter if it doesn't turn out the way we imagined it? I'm sorry, I know I'm saved and all, but I just can't come in. It's not the way I imagined it. Really now. And then there's the preparation for the end. A lot of us tiny bags of water, or I believe hoping that God is busy somewhere else and not looking. Hoping that we can skid into the afterlife like that infamous scene from the movie Risky Business. Well, I was good at the end. If you do get a chance to meet up again at the end and recognize each other, tell me how that worked out for you. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. No one knows but God himself. And no one will know but God himself, ever. But I've looked in a cabinet where I've seen the face of Jesus, or candle smudges that look like Mary Magdalene, or buried in a hill in western New York. No one will know, ever. Deal. And there is no really, yes really, a very good reason why it's not a good idea, we know. So that we pay attention, so that we now, it's like that scene from the movie Spaceballs in front of the radar screen watching the VHS tape of the movie during the movie. For you see, if we keep on looking for the time to come, we miss the now right in front of us. And that wouldn't be good, would it? The world is going to end eventually, if not by the direct hand of God, then by that big yellow thing in the sky, flaming out and then expanding outward way past where we are now. And to borrow something from a friend of mine, there in a blink of eye, there's not going to be even enough time to say, wait, what? So said the blind man to the dead horse while contemplating the way of the world and the rigors of differential calculus. What are we to do? Really? To Romans we go, no, not the nasty Romans or Syrians who had that fondness for nails at the end of whips. And do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Okay, let's backtrack a bit. So we mortal folk don't know the exact time when the world will end, and it more than likely won't matter whether or not we captured all the Pokemon. My God! But I think we can safely say, even taking into account all those lovable, huggable people that think that the Earth is only 5,000 years old and dinosaurs were on Noah's Ark, that the end is closer than the beginning. So maybe we shouldn't pack our bags, but at the very least, take the carpet bag down from the attic and dust out the heavy coats from the wardrobe. Oh, yes, pay attention. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. That's armor of light, not light armor. It is also safe to say that there are certain interested parties that hope that we don't make it to the party on time. And I don't mean beer pong or that cute game now where you flip a drink cup on a certain part of your posterior, either. I mean the biggest party of them all, the one that Jesus invites us to every day of our lives. The party where Jesus is willing to wait until the very last guest arrives. The party we've been anticipating. Ever notice something about candles? The more you light, the brighter it gets. So we light the first candle, and it gets brighter. And then the second, and even brighter still. And then that odd third one with a different color, and even brighter still. And then the fourth, and even brighter still. And then on Christmas Eve, the fat white one. And with his birth, the light becomes so overpowering that it brings down kings and nations to bow to his will. His will, not our approximation or guesstimate of what we thought he might have said, but what he actually said. Now, here's the really cool part. The really cool part. See, this is what we've been waiting for, what we've been anticipating. Not the 12-year-old wishes of somebody who has long since passed being 12. For as his life grows, so should ours grow also. Matthew 5:14-15. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same day, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So get up out of that tree, you Zacchaeus, you! Wade among the teeming masses of the unsaved, unknown, and lost. Kick the tires and light the fires. Time to put the light out where all can see. And yes, for the moment, sit back and let over these next few months. The never-changing story flow and ebb in your very heart and soul until the time comes when on the cross he hangs again and goes to be with his Father, our Father, in a final utterance of Tetelestai. Ever notice one thing? It takes approximately one more month to get from the crucifixion than the other way around. Maybe because the story is a good story. A very good story. An old, old story indeed. But maybe, just maybe, it's a bit more important for us to be part of the new stories we create when we take the Great Commission by the hand and look for the lost, the lonely, those who have forgotten how to love, to care, and by our very example become the person somebody else wants to be. Find the people who are running away from Jesus, and make them the people who run towards Jesus. Give them something to anticipate, to appreciate. So let's stop trying to figure out if God is paying attention and instead pay attention to God. Let's put our shoes or sandals back on and stop skidding on the floor. Let's remember the power of a very tiny baby indeed, a big God. And in thinking about it, maybe there really was no room for the Jesus at the inn. Maybe there was no room because Jesus is too big to fit in an inn. Too big to fit in anywhere, but everywhere he is. Maybe the light needs to shine, shine again, shine brighter. And maybe the real reason why I struggled with snuffing that blessed white candle as a deacon acolyte was simply because it was never meant to be put out. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. Okay, we had a caller. They dropped. I'm not entirely sure why. But again, now is the time of the program where there's anybody out there who's listening in real time. Number to call in is 646-668-2433. If anybody wants to call in, we'll give them a few minutes. Okay. Actually, while we're waiting, we'll just kind of play a little background music. And okay, Once again, number to call in is 646-668-2433. Next week is the episode is titled Prophecy, and we'll be dealing with the message for this Sunday, which is Second Advent. Again, everybody is also welcome to go to the Table of Body and Blood page on Facebook. And that's a public page, so you can sign up for that. Once again, we're going to cut things a little short tonight. So I shall see all of you next week or sometime during the weekend. Everybody have a blessed rest of the evening and hopefully a very blessed Sunday as well. Thank you and good night.